Good morning. We will be reading together here this morning the verse the Lord has laid on my heart here is in Jude. It's only one chapter there. Jude chapter 1 verse 3. Jude chapter 1 verse 3. I was so blessed by the messages that's been going out here this morning. And I'm sure you'll soon see why. Jude chapter 1 verse 3. We read it together. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, I'm sure most of you have read this passage several, multiple times over the years, and I would encourage you to do so again. But our main focus here this morning is on this verse 3 here. As a young man, when I first read these verses, it sensed an urgency to debate with others about what I believed is true. And I found very little fruit in that. One mind trying to convince another is not always helpful. I remember at some time in my walk with the Lord, I recognize that the need we have in the world is so far greater than any one of us or even all of us. The need is so great. The confusion is so great. And people really looking for the truth, you know. Many of them at least. And yet, so few find it. And then you have so many who think they have found it, but they haven't. So here Jude, he wants to write about the common salvation. The common salvation meaning clearly that message of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Son of God coming down to this earth. In a very humble way, a very meek way, emptying himself, being just another brother amongst the brothers. The scripture says it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren in every way. That is to me something tremendous. You mean he came down in a way that it would have been hard for us to spot him? Yeah, exactly that way. He came in a way that the truth that he spoke would be how you would identify him. The truth that he spoke. When we read this passage, it says, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. When I was listening to, I'm sorry, I forgot his name now, but the brother that was sharing the history there from Adam Clifford, thank you. I was thinking, there it is. Do we understand what the faith is? Do we understand it is what God knows to be true? We would say that what God believes, but that seems a little contradictive because he doesn't just merely believe it's true. He knows it's true. It's absolutely true. That which God knows is absolutely true. I like to tell my children that truth isn't complicated. Now, I know it might be, but it shouldn't be. The truth is I'm standing up here. really, I'm here. You can, probably shouldn't, but you can come up here and you can touch my hand. I'm really standing up front here. And I am really from a country far away, and my wife's really sitting over there. That's the truth. And do we understand that our God is truth? He is the truth, the way, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by Him. That's the truth. That's the gospel. This God speaks to men. In fact, He's called the Word of God. The Word of God. This is the gospel. This is the faith. The faith. There is a God who made everything, and He has had interactions with people all through the ages, leaving a trail of who He is. Now, this God has taught us things. First, what we would know as the Old Testament, and now the New Testament, or the Eternal Testament. This is the faith. It is more than I could summarize in an hour. But it centers into this event where that God that created everything, that God that chose Israel, that God that parted the Red Sea, that God that did those mighty acts in Egypt, that God, through whom the whole earth should tremble, that God sent His Son. It centers to this event where God decided, well, now it's time. And His Son was born there in Bethlehem. It really happened. That great God, the God that I think we won't be wrong to say is greater than we could ever comprehend. We really can't figure Him out. He has to reveal Himself to us. That God decided to send us His Son, but with that He sent messages through prophets who prepared the way for His Son, of which John the Baptist was this last great prophet that says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." We are exhorted to earnestly contend for that faith. How do we contend? As I said earlier, sometimes we feel we need to defend. We need to sit and talk to our family or friends or even a stranger about misconceptions. And there is most certainly place for that. But do we live what we believe? You see, God had become very particular about some things according to the Word. He spoke to us about how a wife ought to be. He spoke to us about how a man, actually first of how a man ought to be, how children ought to be raised, how children ought to be. He spoke to us about how we should be as an employer, as an employee. He spoke to us about so many things, in fact, enough detail that there is really no ambiguity. We know how He sees things. And He spoke to us that through His prophets, His apostles, His disciples, and of course, His Son Himself. He spoke to us. And as we heard earlier as well, He's still speaking to us by His Holy Spirit inside of us. The Spirit of truth is said to lead us into remembrance of all things He has said and all truth. This is part of this tremendous responsibility of the faith. God Himself, Emmanuel, God with us, dwelling in us. We are not left to figure out, what did he mean? What does he want? No, he's actually not only given us his word, which is a firm foundation that shall never be moved, but he's also given us himself, that we may live lives on this foundation that would glorify him, that will bring forth a fruit of his indwelling presence known as the fruit of the Spirit, which, by the way, does not have winning argument as one of them, but instead meekness, humility, kindness, gentleness, and so it goes on, the fruits of love. That is part of who our God, in fact, no, that's wrong. He is love. That's our God. He dwells inside of his people in such a way that they may not even notice it. But if they would so quietly listen to him, leading them through his word inside of them, brings forth a tremendous transformation of life. My wife and I, 1997, we were still drug addicts. And we then had an encounter with this God, realized that he is real, that it's not just some religious thing. No, he is life. He is very real, and this translated us into the kingdom of his Son. This changed us from inside out, set us on a course, as has done for many of you. Now, this faith is being contested, is being ridiculed, is being found boring. We've heard that before. You mean he died for all the sin of the world? Okay. You mean we are sinners, we're now forgiven? Yeah. Okay. And yet, nothing happens. In fact, what happens is they take the teachings we consider holy and they make fun of them. They turn it upside down. They count it as a light thing, and that they found something of greater importance, human wisdom. Things that sounds very plausible because somehow it agrees with us at certain places, but it doesn't. I've been looking at this for several years, and one of the things that just surprises me is how the world and even the so-called Christian world, the compromises and the things they ridicule about our faith is things we don't see as central to our faith at all, at least. We know that the message of the cross, we know that the blood sacrifice, we know that Jesus taking our place there in the judgment before God, this is center to our faith. The Son of God. We know that we can never earn God's favor. We know that our works fall short of the glory of God. We know that. We know that not any amount of modesty, any amount of loving our enemy, we know that none of these seemingly peripheral things adds anything to our salvation, but as a fruit of gratefulness to the wisdom of God. We see God has given us a way to live that is saving ours and our families and our children from so much things if they would truly believe the things and not just do them because others do them. But do things because they know God is teaching us these ways. And yet the world makes it look like, nah, that's not important. They like to remind us that among us there are people who are living in our convictions, and yet, look, they have the same problem. See? These things you believe really is not that important. But wait a minute, what makes it important? What makes the things we do and the things we say important? Is it because it works or because God said them? Isn't that what makes it important? It's the fact that God has spoken these things. That is the faith. The faith is the fact that this God, this great God, has in fact spoken to His people and we believe Him. Like the brother says, though He slay me, yet I will follow Him. There is this place where it's not an expedient Christianity. We don't just believe and do the things we do because it's going to work out right. No, we believe these things even if it's going to cost us everything. Because that was the very big words our Lord used when He started calling His disciples. He said, unless you forsake all you have, you cannot be My disciple. Now, I know about you, but that has been ringing in my ears for so many years. Because to be His disciple is to learn from Him, is to be able to get close enough to know what He means about what He's saying to us. There's something about an unwillingness to lose that's going to keep you from Jesus. It's going to keep you from coming close enough to hear Him about something, whatever that be in your life. I can testify of many a times I sat at a distance because I wouldn't let go of things. And only when I came to that place where I was willing to say, oh Lord, then let it be, suddenly I understood. Suddenly the knowledge of Christ made sense. Suddenly I understood why others don't see the simplicity of His ways. Suddenly I understood my needs better. And suddenly I felt exposed. Suddenly I realized I was the fool here. And that all these struggles I was having inside was just the result of unbelief in Him, unbelief in His word, uncertainty that He really spoke these things, because that's the enemy's way. He always makes it look like God's keeping something back from us. That somehow the things He has said isn't enough. Because He starts with, oh, so you should just give your children correction? Yeah? And so what about that? Did God say anything about that? And it's still this whole thing, did God really say that you should beat Him with a rod and save His soul from hell? Did He really say that? Somehow the enemy is, with very good and well-tailored speeches, able to convince us that just believing the word is kind of outdated. We are in a more sophisticated society, and the challenges that we are being confronted with is so much far more complex, that we need a more in-depth perspective. And yet, nearly 2,000 years ago, the brother Jude here, moved by the Holy Spirit, sensed that even in their day, this is a real problem. It's a warning for us through all the ages that in contending for the faith, we ourselves must be sure of what God has said. Now, how do we become sure? How do any of us become sure of what God has said? It, of course, starts with God's word. This is, so far, I'm sure we all agree. We read God's word. And yet, you all know that every group in the world that has this Bible under their arm is reading the same book. Okay, some of them have twisted it even further, but you understand. Why do they get it wrong? Why didn't we get it wrong? Why did we? How? What? How are we going to answer this? And I remember back when I was so confused and I didn't know which way is up or down. I remember saying, Lord, please, I just want the truth. I'm tired of all this confusion. I'm tired of this uncertainty that we cannot know. And I remember him saying the same things we've just heard. Are you willing to lose everything? Are you willing? And I found myself being certain of only a little few things. A little few things I knew for a fact, this is true. I was unsure about other things because, you know, that brother, he's been walking with God 50 years and he says a woman should, you know, she shouldn't sit down. She should just tell her husband where he should sit. And I struggle with that. I couldn't understand why is it not the same of what God's word is saying. And this man, he's saying something different. So there were things that, sure, but I was sure about a few small things. And in my case, it was a very few things. And it was just that Jesus is the Son of God. And that he is real. And that he's not just real, he really came from God. This is really what happened. He really came down to this earth. And he really lived that life. I had only a little few things. And for quite several years, about 3 or 4 years, that's all I kept holding on to through all the different trials. And then the Lord would confront me in areas of my life where I had needs. And you know how it is, you know, we're easy to see needs in others, but being very honest about our own needs is not as easy. And when I would submit to his knife and let him circumcise my heart, I got some more truth. When I was willing to be humiliated, to confess my sin to this younger brother, well, I should have been the example. Now I have to tell him, oh, well, brother, I fell with my eyes and, oh, more truth. Every time when I gave a little bit of, I can say, risk, I took a risk on God. I heard him about something. He was confronting me about something. So slowly, gently, he led me more and more to truth. Truth that while we can read the same word, others, they don't see it. They don't see why it's just true. This faith is hid in plain sight in front of the whole world. God didn't make it a secret. He says, whosoever will, let him come. God commands all men everywhere to repent and call upon the Lord Jesus. This is not some secret thing. This God has no delight in the death of the wicked. He wants people to return to him. This contending for the faith requires us to take up our cross. Now, the cross to me is to know what God's saying to you and to do that in faith, even if it will cost you everything. And I've heard so many times from many different brothers and sisters over the years, where they had to speak with family, or where they had to quit this job, or where they had to do this, and it was a serious trial. But they were contending for the faith. They were responding to the words like Abraham, when God told him, take up your things and go. He had to contend for the faith there. He had to say, well, did he say it or did I just make that all up? He had to somehow come to grips that God did speak to him. And he actually then had to step out. This passage that says, my sheep hear my voice. And the other that says, and they run away from another. One of the revelations I experienced as a younger, I'm still young, but a younger man, was just stop listening to the ideas in your mind that you know is not him. Just start there. You get thoughts in your mind, you know, this isn't the Lord. Just stop listening to those thoughts. If you are his sheep, surely you will realize it's all about knowing his voice. To follow his voice in faith. This is not a works salvation. It's one of a very weak, fragile sheep going, meh, and hearing his shepherd's voice and just hopping along over there. He's not strong. He's not courageous. I won't forget speaking to Brother Denny many years ago. I was talking to him about the challenge of a person in our congregation that I felt was that he was too great of a challenge. I didn't know how to minister to him. The challenges he was having, and he said to me, well, brother, just go lower. The enemy's knees cannot bend. If you humble yourself, you will certainly quickly find out what's the situation. And something about that, it was humiliating, but it was also liberating. How God is able to use us when we are weak. And we were just honest about our needs. So, is this faith in your life? Is this real for you? Are you able to hear the voice of the Lord through the brothers and sisters, confirming the voice of the Lord in your life? Is there a reality where God is not just literature, but spiritually inside of us, walking with you as an individual? In such a way that there is the washing of the feet daily. You know, contemplating our day in front of the presence of God, saying, Lord, here is my feet. Where did I not hear you? Where did I step out of line? Where did I say more than I should have? Where did I do something or did not do something you led me to? Letting the Lord daily deal with us instead of having it heap up is what Jesus said, unless I wash your feet, you have no part in me. This continual washing, it in fact brings forth his presence even more. The reality of God with us even more. It is not on us to have brilliant minds. It's not on us to have great intelligence and be very educated, although I am all for the idea of studying and showing yourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of God. I am all for that. But it's really upon our willingness to submit to him, to his leading. When I listen to the stories and read them of Scripture, we see men that sensed God and submitted themselves to Him, believing that He is right and that He knows best, while the culture around them, the people around them, often contradicted that, as the brother was sharing. This is becoming even more so today, isn't it? We're finding ourselves more and more in a position where things we think is important, things we think, well, important enough that we would don't mind standing out, we don't mind looking strange, is being treated like it's worthless. In fact, that it's a sort of a negative thing. Something that we should rather be less serious about. Well, if we come to the place where we understand that God's Word is God and God is God's Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. When we start to understand that struggling to, in fact, believe Him is to struggle to accept Him for who He really is. There's something about that that has really confronted me many a times in my life. When I struggle with something, God is pointing out a need of meekness in my life, a need in this area, a need to be more gentle. I'm like, yeah, but they don't want to hear, Lord. Shouldn't we be a little bit more upfront? Aren't they going to just miss the message altogether because we gave it a little more gentle? The Lord's like, no. To be like Him and be missed is who our Lord Jesus encountered Himself, isn't it? Being the express image of the Father, they crucified Him. And their rejection of Him became all of our salvation. There's something about being missed, something about being misunderstood, something about having people not like you that is actually part of being like Him. And we don't always realize that. I know for sure in my life, I always think, what did I do wrong? Why did they get the wrong message? Why did it not come across correctly? There's something about us questioning ourselves because others did not receive what God has given us or didn't even see it. But that's part of the faith. That's part of who we see He is. He is misunderstood. He is missed. People miss Him. I mean, I hear many saying, if I lived in the day that Jesus walked the earth, I would have, you know, I would have been a little different than His disciples. And I'm thinking, no, I would have failed probably worse. Because there's something about God that doesn't make Him attractive. Although He is attractive. It's something about God that doesn't sound just right, while yet He is true. Otherwise, why would everybody run from it? You can't just say, no, it's absolutely perfect when you see so many say that He's not. You have to come to grips that us ourselves sometimes have the same problem. That the very perfect God is talking to me and to you, and we think that's just that brother's opinion. Because we hear our brother's voice in the voice of the Lord. I know in my family that's one of the things I struggle with. They hear me when they should be knowing it's not me, my children, my brothers. It's not me. It is the Lord, and we're simply echoing His words. We ourselves are beggars who found bread. we're not the ones who have that bread to give out as our own. It's his bread. If people start looking to us, oh, wait, that's a mess. And yet, that's what happens, especially when they don't want to hear the truth. They want to fight with the messenger. But contenting also, as I've tried to share here, this content towards the inner reality of our Christian walk is the first and most important place this content should take place. It's to contend with ourselves, that we don't become unsure of the Word of God. That we don't end up saying, well, that group sees it this way, and that group sees it that way, and we kind of see it this way, but we're not even sure if we're right. Wait a minute. You tell me you're walking in something you're not sure about? Clearly, that's not what we see in Acts. We see men that would die but change what they heard God say. We see men that would say, let us be judged whether we should obey God or man. We see a reality that God does, in fact, communicate with his people in a way that they can be sure it's him. I mean, how else can he keep them responsible for not listening? Are we going to really believe that he expects us to follow him, he expects us to walk in faith, but we're kind of struggling to hear him? Is that real? I know that's been real for me at times. But I had to look at that and say, wait a minute, something's wrong over here. What is going on? Why am I not hearing the one who is the best communicator ever? Why am I having struggles to understand his will for my life while his will is the very thing he wants to show me? This great God that created the heavens and the earth wants you to know his will. How else could Jesus say, not my will, but thy will be done? If you cannot know his will, there must be a place where we should in fact check that the challenge we have is not with the truth, but with me. I'm standing in its way. Sometimes we have to go back several years, sometimes it's just a few days, where we left something undone which God put his finger on. Where God confronted us and we didn't believe him. But then there is this other part of contending for the faith, which is in evangelism. I've been surprised. You know, we are working in a very different culture than I'm sure most of you are facing. And then sometimes when I speak to some of the brothers, I realize, okay, there are at least some similarities. We have a very everybody's Christian kind of culture. And we have evangelicals and Pentecostals and charismatic cultures. And then we have people that want nothing to do with God. What we don't have is we don't have people that is actually sharing 99% of all our convictions and yet are unsaved. That, I agree, we don't have that. But we do share some similar challenges. And one of the things the Lord showed me many years ago is, well, son, why not just go back to the message that the apostles shared, that Jesus is the Christ? And I thought, well, everybody is preaching that. Everybody is preaching that Jesus is the Christ. And I felt him insisting, no, son, go back and just preach again that Jesus is the Christ. Because somehow The enemy has succeeded at keeping us busy with all kinds of things. And this central message of why we become spiritual in the first place is kind of uninteresting. It's not center enough to be of such importance that this is what captivates. Maybe that's not the case here, but that's definitely what I sensed God speaking to me about. That was the gospel that they preached in the early book of Acts, right? They went from house to house and they told what we today call the gospels. They spoke about how he grew up, where he walked, what he did, how his mom treated him, how his brothers treated him, and how his disciples stumbled along. They shared this message which we are so used to. Why? Because it was fresh, right? And people haven't heard it yet. So there was something about that that made people very curious. Okay, explain to me again, what happened that night there? Now that's somewhat of a truth of how I got saved. A message that I have heard for years and years that Jesus is God suddenly became real. Suddenly became real. I don't know how else to say that. I knew it, but I didn't. And then I now knew it. Now, there's some of you probably in that position. I mean, it would be wrong of me to assume that just everybody is born again. This simple message that God sent his son underlines the fact that God does in fact see us as lost. That God understands that we cannot save ourselves. And that in sending his son, he is bringing to us the word that we need to hear and really, really believe. Not just in our heads, but in our heart. It needs to penetrate our being that Jesus is the Son of God. Because once that reality strikes us, God's Holy Spirit says to move in to that life. When faith is real, he pours out his spirit. And this life of knowing God's voice, walking in faith, seeking his will, submitting to his ways, becomes an outflow of his indwelling presence. The education world, the world at large, is doing everything in their power to contradict the Lord's truths. It's a little bit here, a little bit there. But unto us is left the responsibility not to become uncertain of those precious values, principles, convictions. Not to think that it's somehow boring, but to let that love, that first love, flare up in us for these foundational things into the end of our lives until the Lord returns. That's the message I had on my heart to share with you this morning. I'm not sure, brother, do I close in prayer or do you?